I'm Ruth Morton, an IT Pro Advisor with Microsoft Canada.
And I'm Rick Claus, also an IT Pro Advisor at Microsoft Canada.
Today, Rick and I are actually going to be co-hosting this episode, as I'll be taking off on maternity leave for a while, and Rick is going to be taking over the podcast series. So let's see how he does with the intro. Take it away, Rick.
Thanks, Ruth. So welcome to the IT Manager Podcast. It's a monthly audio information series designed to provide a fresh perspective on the latest IT trends and insight on how you can leverage technology to further drive business value. I invite you to visit microsoft.ca/IT podcast for some supplementary resources, case studies, and some other podcast episodes. With the latest release of Windows Server 2008, today's IT managers are examining new virtualization technologies, web resources, security, and management enhancements. Learn more about the Canadian organizations that are currently leveraging Windows Server 2008 to save time, reduce costs, and deliver a dynamic and optimized data center. In this IT Manager podcast, we've joined by Kevin McCulley from Webfeet and Loa Calvez from Lafarge North America. We're going to be discussing the IT benefits of Windows Server 2008, some keys to successful deployment, and also talking about some migration best practices.
Before we get started, how about we have each of you introduce yourselves and tell us a bit about your organization and your role in that organization. Kevin?
Hello, I'm Kevin McCulley. I'm the Senior Network Admin with Webfeet Multimedia. Webfeet Multimedia specializes in online marketing and learning. We've been around for about 10 years and have helped with more than 100 high-profile North American companies.
Hi, my name is Loic Calvez. I'm a Senior Enterprise Infrastructure Architect for Lafarge North America. We are the North America largest diversified manufacturer of construction materials. We've got over 15,000 employees scattered across 1,000 locations. For us, a location can be anything from a small quarry on an island that is only reachable by boat or plane, all the way down to a full manufacturing plant with over 200 employees. And it brings a lot of challenges for our environment.
Great.
Thanks, guys. Why don't we paint a picture of your technology infrastructure as it was before Windows Server 2008? What were your specific technology challenges? How about you, Kevin?
We've been around for about 10 years in the industry, so we've had a lot of code build up over that time. We were primarily a cold fusion shop, a cold fusion development shop. For the last 3 years, we've been moving to a Microsoft development shop. So we have a lot of really old code that's been sitting around. We have a lot of very old legacy systems that have been sort of sitting there and really haven't been touched for a very long time. So in our current, or in that in particular environment, we were sort of stuck with old hardware, old code, an old environment overall, like the development practices that we actually used from 10 years ago were still, some of them were still available there. This was causing significant challenges overall. We were really held back in some of the dynamic capabilities that we wanted to move forward with. We were really trying to get some new technologies to try to do like some brand new ideas out. And due to the environment and the lockdown that we were in, we were unable to just, you know, throw up a box and try something new and be really ahead of the game. So that really, really held us back. So our decisions to try something new would take a longer period of time to actually make the decision so that we could move forward. So those were some of the biggest challenges we had in that environment. Secondary, we had an issue with that particular environment in it's a co-located environment and there was heat issues coming about. So that was becoming a very, very strong motivator to make some sort of change.
Thanks, Kevin. Yeah. How about you, Loic?
In our case, I mean, one of the big drivers we had in the IT for our company for the past couple of years has been centralizing. We used to be very decentralized where we had IT department per region, per business units. And merging all of those together has been a challenge in a lot of different ways. I mean, just to give an example, we used to have 5 different ERP systems, and we're also in the process of consolidating this all the way back to one. And because we had many departments with many different sizes, some of those were managing 20 servers located in a closet down the hall, and some had to manage full data centers with hundreds of servers all across North America. So the actual best practices that were used were actually very different from one group to another. So one of the challenges, other than the geographic aspect of it, also has been to realign and re-standardize a lot of those best practices. One of the big drivers for decentralization was actually cost reduction. As you can imagine, having many IT departments performing the same task is not very efficient. So by moving this to a central organization, we're able to leverage people a bit more and to offer things that we were not able to offer before, like 24/7 support.
So, Loic, how would you describe then the security of your IT infrastructure prior to Windows Server 2008?
Security was actually a pretty big challenge. I mean, the largest issue was probably around auditing, where having many people having administrative rights across all those systems made it nearly impossible for us to know who had access to what and who could give access to them. So by moving to a centralized organization, we've been able to streamline a lot of those processes and create procedures and ensure that we can actually know who's got access to what and what's the process to gain access to some systems.
And how about yourself, Kevin?
So our security challenges were slightly different. Because we're a co-located environment, we had physical security locked down. However, some of the big challenges we had were the use of passwords and user IDs across too many properties. So with the new environment, we actually were able to create a more standardized methodology for usernames and passwords to lock down specific services, specific functions, specific processes.
Okay. And let's talk a little bit more about the specific business benefits. So after deploying Windows Server 2008 within your organization, what kind of benefits did you see?
Well, some of the benefits I seen right away were with the virtualization. We were using Hyper-V, which is a new technology from Microsoft that provided the ability for us to actually run 64-bit architectures, have a much better server performance per machine, per physical box versus virtualization box. So we noticed that as a huge advantage. It gave us a great ability now to become dynamic. As I was saying before, where we had issues where if you wanted to try something new, it could take a long time because we had to set up new boxes, we had to try to build the environment, we had to try to shoehorn it in an environment that really didn't like that. Well, with this new environment, it's very easy to create a new machine, create a new environment, let the developers just go haywire and not be concerned how it's going to adversely impact the entire environment. We can segregate them out. We can make sure that they're locked out of other environments in our production world.
And can you give us an idea of what your infrastructure looked like before and after? Can you give us a visual?
Well, in our old environment, everything was sort of piecemeal together. Literally, like boxes were thrown on top of each other. Due to this change that we were allowed to do, we started a new environment, so we cleaned everything up. We made sure that there was proper wire management and all of the components were actually nicely stacked for a change. We've also moved from what was three racks inside of a cage to two racks total. So we're saving some significant time and money there. In our old environment, certain components were load balanced, i.e. websites were load balanced. So if a web server would go down, there was some disaster recovery for that. In our new environment, we actually have our two racks entirely load balanced so that if an entire rack should go down, you know, on the very rare occasion that all the power gets turned off for some really unknown reason, our systems will still be up and staying. So this has added in just a huge amount of disaster recovery capabilities for us.
Cool. What about yourself, Loic? What kind of business benefits have you experienced since move to Windows Server 2008?
For us, actually, the timing was amazing. We were actually planning to do a full Active Directory rollout, and there was a couple of issues we were having around security, and we were not too sure how to best approach it. And with Windows 2008 coming out, we actually saw all the solution we were looking for pretty much built in straight into the product. So the timing in there was actually very great. For us, I mean, deploying Windows 2008 in all those branch office locations made it something that is easy to deploy, easy to maintain, and actually addresses a lot of the challenges we had before over there.
What are some of Windows Server 2008 features that you're leveraging in your new environment, and why?
One of the main features we're looking at is RODC. RODC actually solves a lot of the problem we're having with some of our branch office locations. As I said before, ensuring physical security in those locations is very complicated. Some of those sites can be in the middle of a field or hours away from civilization. Therefore, ensuring physical security is really a big challenge. But with RODC, we can actually control what information is in the server, and if something was to happen to that server, we can actually get a report of which accounts were actually cached in there, so we can take action right away. The other feature we're looking for is actually server core. We currently have a pretty large consolidation effort going on to our major data centers, which is freeing up older hardware, which is not necessarily that old yet, but it would probably be not powerful enough to power a full edition of Windows 2008. but with server cores, since it has a smaller footprint, we're actually able to install it on that reclaimed hardware and actually make some pretty big savings around there.
And how about you, Kevin? What Server 2008 features are you leveraging specifically?
Well, again, we were talking about the Hyper-V component. So basically an improved version of virtualization. Virtualization being taking an OS and running multiple versions of that OS on a specific piece of hardware. That's probably our biggest use. The other things is we're getting into daily management and tasks that we're able to bring in together. We're using the PowerShell more frequently to help us automate some of the processes that we were originally doing manually. So a lot of automation that we really wanted to bring in. Centralization, being able to centrally manage the services IDs has increased our performance and our ability to make sure that we can actually create an ID, get the developers to know and understand what that particular process means, and made it easier for them to sort of work that into their code.
And Loic, by RODC, you're referring to the read-only domain controller. Is that correct?
Yes.
So now that you've both deployed successfully Windows Server 2008, what are some of the keys to success that you would give to someone else that was looking to do this?
I would say planning is the key to success. Planning and auditing what you have, where you are, what your environment was prior, and what you hope to make it become. Another very important part is your vendor relations. For me, I had an excellent vendor with CDW who helped us bring in all the technology that we needed. As well as their connection with Microsoft, they were able to provide for me contacts directly at the Microsoft offices where I could give people a call and I could ask them important questions on some of the technologies that I wasn't familiar with. So they were able to point me in the right directions to get the information that I needed to make these processes work.
You couldn't just do an internet search?
We could do internet search, but Windows 2008 is a fairly new product, so some of the more detailed information is not easy to find, especially when you're not necessarily aware what the terminology is. And that's where, as I said, going in and calling up a Microsoft employee and saying, hey, look, I'm using this particular product. I'd like to be able to know what it means and what are the things that I should be looking for, the terminology that I should be using in my search engine or in my searches to help me better understand what's actually happening.
And Loic, how about yourself?
I would agree with Kevin. I mean, planning is probably one of the most important aspects in this, where you may think that just being just another version of Windows, it might be easy to do, but there's a couple of gotchas that can actually get you and slow down your project. So you need to make sure that you have a proper vendors and partners out there to help you out, because they will probably have done this before you and will have answers to a lot of the questions you may have. I know, I mean, in our case, for example, when we started early on, we were playing with the beta version. One of our big challenges was to find an antivirus that would actually work on server core. Now it's no longer an issue. Most of the vendors have a version now that will actually work. But that was the kind of problem we were faced with. Vendor support is sometimes problematic, and proper planning will ensure that it doesn't get you. And in the end also, I mean, you have to make sure you actually go in there for the right reason, where you don't want to just deploy Windows 2008, but it's because it's the new one. You need to actually find good drivers and actually be able to sell it back to your management team in order to get a proper support.
So any additional best practices or advice that you'd like to offer your fellow IT managers, guys?
Well, I would probably say that some of the next important aspects are to make sure that your management group is involved in what's actually going on. Having them buy in to what's happening, making sure that they understand what the return on investment is, and where you're going is critical to making the project work. When things have a tendency to go to the left, you know, having them on your side and helping you out can really be a big boost to your morale, to what's actually happening, to making sure that people understand where we're going in the future, making sure the developers and the rest of the teams are involved and are part of that process so that they don't feel like they're left out as, well, there's a whole bunch of new technology and I have no understanding of what's going on.
And on our side, I mean, what I would say is try to necessarily take it slow, but take your time to actually do it properly. I mean, Windows 2008 is a great platform to build on. There's a lot of features in there that will solve a lot of recurring business problems. So look into it, see what's in there. I mean, in our case, for example, we started with RODC and Server Core. We already have our eyes on the next step, which is terminal services. So we're looking into the product, seeing that it solves a lot of problem we're having today, and we're just building on it.
How did you and your team get up to speed on these new technologies? What's the best way, or what would you recommend to other teams?
Being a large enterprise, we're very lucky that we have a close relationship with Microsoft, so we've got a lot of resources we can leverage. but we also get a lot of information from our partners, from trade shows and publications.
I was actually going to say the trade shows were probably the biggest component in learning what was actually new and available with Windows 2008. If it wasn't for me going to the trade shows, I wouldn't have really discovered the capability of the Hyper-V virtualization environment that came out with Windows 2008. So by hitting those trade shows and then following up with our vendors, with people who might have some understanding of what's going on and the close relationships we've developed with Microsoft over the last few years, have really helped make these projects work effectively. Probably better than using the other company whom we don't have that kind of relationship with.
Any specific trade shows you'd want to recommend?
I learned the most from the Heroes trade shows.
That's the Heroes Happen Here launch event?
That's right, yeah. That was the one I think that's been really good because it does give you a broad overview of everything that's going on mm-hmm. in the industry. And that way you can start focusing on the important things or the things that really capture your attention.
Loic, I'm actually pretty interested. You mentioned that you're going to be using Server Core for these RDCs in the field, and you now have a new centralized environment. But what's it like managing from the command line? Is it going back to the old days? How are your admin staff handling that?
The first step is a little bit scary, where actually it starts very easy because you install it and it just goes and it's installed and then you see that command prompt. And then you say, oh, it's going to be easy. I've always done this before. It's command prompt. I'm able to do this. And then you try to remember what is that NetSH command to add a second DNS server to that NIC you just had to bound with that script. And I mean, it's actually something, it's a learning curve, but once it's actually set up, a lot of that in our case is scripted. And once the server is up and running, then, I mean, from the outside, it looks the same. I mean, you can install RSAT, which is the remote server administration tools. And if you have that running on your machine, then the fact that it's a full edition versus a server core becomes pretty much transparent.
So Kevin, now that you're on Windows Server 2008, what's kind of the feedback that you're getting from your IT staff and how they're able to provide solutions for your customers?
Well, first sort of reaction was a rather negative reaction. They don't like change. They like to develop for what they know and what they understand. Now that we're sort of in the environment and they're starting to see some of the value and some of the benefits that are coming in, with the ability to try out new code for them. Before it was rather restrictive. Now it's very open. So they're actually really getting on board with this, as well as being able to provide a better development environment for them. So they're not worried about taking down like live systems by accident or throwing off what might be happening. Or some of the big challenges we had earlier on were our live systems didn't necessarily mirror our development systems. So there was some changes and differences. So as we moved up from process to from our development to our staging environments and then to our live environments, sometimes they'd have to spend a good chunk of time fixing the problems that came out due to the minor changes. Now that process is happening much more timely and efficiently, and they're actually starting to see that and seeing the value that that's bringing to their time and energy. They get to think more on creative processes as opposed to going back and fixing the same code that they just worked on.
Great. And Loic, how about you? How is your IT staff responding? And what's the feedback you're getting?
At first, they were afraid. I mean, we're also a change adverse organization. So the thought of changing to a new platform was actually pretty scary for a lot of them. But once we were able to demonstrate some of the benefits that were built in the application and in the new platform, most of them got on board pretty quickly.
So Kevin, what kind of specific ROI did you experience?
Well, overall in our planning environment, we actually saved about 20% off of our hardware costs moving forward with this new plan, with the virtualization being a key component of that. Prior to that, with creating an environment with a single box providing, you know, single service environment, you know, we had to have a lot of machines that we had. By doing this, we reduced the number of physical machines that we had to have in the environment. As well as, or some of the benefits of that as well, were less machines, physical machines. So we were able to take our three racks down to, you know, two half racks.
Thanks so much, Kevin and Loic, for taking the time to come and share your experiences and your knowledge with us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me. It's really fun to actually be able to talk about these particular tools and products that are coming out.
That concludes this episode of the IT Manager Podcast. We hope what you've heard today inspires you to have a look at Windows Server 2008 and how it can help your business. Let us know what your thoughts are about this episode by posting a comment at microsoft.ca/ITpodcast, where you'll also find some supplementary resources and other podcast episodes. Thanks for listening.